Good morning, everybody. And I think we are now nice and wide awake for our service this morning, but welcome to Stewardship Month here. And looking around, I'm not going to try to be the name tag police, but looks like everybody's put their name tags on this morning. That's great to see. That's what we want to do throughout this month. And I with service last night, I noticed how much of a difference it was making with everybody wearing name tags. Everybody was calling each other, you know, by name. You got a name to look at. And it just reminds us that as the Lord has called us by name, we also call each other by name. Last night also, the shoes for the souls that I mentioned, we had dedicated those last week. The final count was 92 pairs of shoes that has to be divided between four schools. That works out to just about two dozen pairs of shoes per school. For schools that are as large as some of these are, it may seem like a very small token of thing, but it's very much appreciated by the schools. So thank you to everybody on short notice for helping us get through that. The much larger one for the Shoes for the Souls will be, as it usually is, probably late this coming summer. I have been asked to make an announcement here. The Ladies Guild meeting that's for this coming Wednesday, all are invited to see a presentation given by Frieda Steinke. She and Pastor had traveled from Paris to the World War II Normandy invasion sites. The U.S. Cemetery and Landing Beaches are featured in this talk. That's going to be as a part of the Ladies Guild this coming Wednesday. And if you recall, our Ladies Guild meetings have now, because of the LYF that's over in the CLC, has moved into the music room. So that presentation will be there. We'll have everything set up and ready to go for that. So as we go through our Stewardship Month, please also remember there's going to be a Bible study starting here that's going to be between the worship services that we'll have. And we're going to have a couple things we're going to be doing today on behalf of that. So we certainly look forward to that. In the midst of what God's people have been giving here, just a reminder for that next week, apparently we have got something extra special coming up for fellowship. I believe it's more like a breakfast that I'm hearing. There's going to be a pancake breakfast next week at our time of fellowship. So you might want to take note of that. It's very special. Also next week, our teens, our CIA, are going to be having a bake sale. And so just in your minds, be thinking about that. Another way that we'll be able to support our youth as we go through all of the things that are going to be happening, an awfully busy month that we're getting ourselves ready for here. Last announcement is just a reminder that, again, although it's for our Saturday night worship this coming week, after worship, that we are going to be going over here to the Country Pizza and Italian Grill that's here on 19, just on the other side of Main Street, just past Speedway, just a couple of buildings, real easy to get to from here. If there are any of you that are ordinarily a part of the 8 o'clock service that would like to go out for supper with us Saturday night, I kind of like a count. So if there's any of you that would like to join us, you're all welcome to join us. Please let me know just as we leave worship or just when you've got a moment this morning. Please fill out the Faith Fellowship cards and racks in front of you and let us know that you were here this morning. Our order of worship this morning is traditional morning prayer. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. The Lord says, before you were born, I consecrated you. The Lord says, whatever I command you, you shall speak. The Lord says, do not be afraid, for I am with you to deliver you. Embraced by the love of God through our baptism into Christ, we confess our sin before God and one another, beginning with a moment of silence. Captive to sin, we have sinned against you, God of love, in thought, word, and deed. In your great love for us in Christ, forgive our sins and renew our lives. We have shown lack of trust in your loving purpose for our lives. In your great love for us in Christ, forgive our sins and renew our lives. We have failed to immerse ourselves in your word. and to speak it freely in the world. In your great love for us in Christ, forgive our sins and renew our lives. We have failed to love you and to love one another, even using our faith as an excuse not to love our neighbors. In your great love for us in Christ, forgive our sins and renew our lives. We have been envious, boastful, arrogant, rude, insistent, irritable, and resentful. In your great love for us in Christ, forgive our sins and renew our lives. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Readings from Holy Scripture are appointed for the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany. The Old Testament lesson is in the first chapter of Jeremiah. The Lord calms Jeremiah's fear with a promise. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a youth,' for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is from the first chapter, 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. All of Christ's sacrifice, and hence our lives, is about love. And I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned and have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes for all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in a synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our Christian faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, God's grace, mercy, and peace, as it comes to us by the powerful grace of our Lord and God, may it come from us and through us and into a world by which he has given us his greatest gifts that we may share them with others. Amen. My text for this morning is from those last couple of verses of our gospel lesson. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place, and the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them, but he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." Dear friends, you've noticed, especially up north, just how cold it's been, but all is not lost this time of year, because this is the time of year for shows that are showing off all kinds of new products. They have them in civic centers and in these gigantic exhibit halls that just all over the country. And there's all kinds of things. The new clothing and fashions, of course, most of it for the summer. And then I had to throw this one in here. I was reading an announcement just this past week where one of the major tire suppliers was announcing the next generation of their winter tire that they were going to, shall we say, roll out at one of these shows. And so when is it going to be available to dealers or just people that put tires on cars? Approximately July 4th. Just wonderful. I wonder who comes up with those decisions. Anyway, there's all kinds of things. Sports equipment, like anything from golf clubs and hunting equipment to... And then you've heard about the boat shows, but one of the most remarkable ones that they have every year are these special car concept shows. Now, I said some of these shows are showing you what's actually going to be brought out that coming spring or whatever the case might be. A lot of these car shows, you're going to see things that are never, ever going to actually hit the market, at least to be mass produced. They are floating out some ideas for you. And I'm just curious what you think, whether it's of the whole vehicle or just some of the particular things that are on that vehicle that they might add to a vehicle sometime later. But the ultimate concept ever produced for a car, it was this, the most popular concept ever introduced for a car was first built way back in 1955 in Turin, Italy, by Ford. And it's like, wait a minute, we haven't come up with a better one since then? Just wait for it. Originally, in 1955, they were going to sell this car for $250,000. Back then, I decided not to try to convert that to see what in 2019, how much that would actually have been. But wow, just think about it. That must be some concept car. It was called the Lincoln Futura. And, well, probably because of the price and a few other things, it never was sold as a production car. However, a red one was made and used in a 1959 Hollywood movie that was called It Started with a Kiss. Now, maybe a couple of you even saw that movie. Maybe you even remember it. I don't know. But this red one was made and used. But after the movie production finished, this $250,000 car was sold to a customizer. This man was still associated with the Ford Motor Company. His name was George Barris. And they sold him this car for a dollar. But this car then, in early fall of 1965, this man was approached by a producer, a television producer named William Dozier, about making a special custom car for an upcoming TV series. Now, he was given only 3 weeks to come up with something. But the producer was so impressed with what Barris came up with that during filming, they used this car and they insured it without knowing how much it originally would have cost. They insured it for the exact same value. They insured it for $250,000, which back then, that was a lot of money. In the year 2013, Barris finally turned the vehicle over to an auction company, a well-known one in Scottsdale, Arizona, and it sold for $4.62 million. An all-time record for a vehicle used in a movie or TV. What do you think it is? I'm just curious. Okay, this goes back a long ways. Even younger people might know this vehicle as the Batmobile. A curious thing that one of the what was as a concept car that was sold for a dollar was converted into something like this. And at car shows where they show different concept cars, if the Batmobile is there, to this day, that's the car everybody wants to go and see. Now, I know, here comes the question, especially since we're starting stewardship, how does the Batmobile introduce us to a month devoted to stewardship? Well, remember this. From something that started as extremely valuable, the child of God, called by name, chosen by God since conception, but because of sin, later seen as almost worthless, probably not even worth that $1, God has made us precious once again. Although what God gives us to use is, in many ways, shall we say, revolutionary, as was the Batmobile, he equips us in ways that are both useful and customized. Customized to you, even if you don't see them or the value of them. You might remember, if you ever saw that show, that somehow the practical feature that was needed inside that Batmobile was always there at hand. And some things you would never have guessed would have been useful to be inside of a car, like a car phone, ended up later being something where now everybody has seen, whether they should use it or not, has access to one. Well, it doesn't start, my friends, with Batmobiles, but it does start with Christ. And as we're talking about stewardship, yes, indeed. It starts with Christ, who came as the Word of God, the Word who was made flesh, who made his dwelling among us, who took the form of one of us, God, doing that for us. But then, who showed with his authority and miraculous power by his word. And let's be clear. When he spoke with authority, it wasn't like somehow every time a word came out of his mouth, the rafters were shaking or something like that. He allowed God's word to be God's word. He proclaimed it for what it was. Not through 50,000 human filters, what we want to think about it, but what it actually is. And yes, he preached the good news of the kingdom of God wherever and whenever he could. And even for the people that wanted him to stay and keep doing the things he was doing. No, I must preach the good news also in other places. The need to keep bringing that word with great power to as many places as possible. The need for it never stops. But not only did he proclaim the good news, he is the good news. When we read the good news, the gospel, it's all about Jesus and how the power of the kingdom of God has come now to us through faith in Jesus Christ. And he has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for you. And we're reminded of that even from conception, he knows what he wants to do with us. He has a plan. And he values us as one of his children long before we would ever have the opportunity to wonder just how valuable we ourselves might be to him. We've gone through an exceptional week this past week of where even religious leaders, it seems like, have called into doubt. It seems like even they do not understand how much God values each and every one of us, even from conception. And it is something in which at some point, as God's people, a person, regardless of where a person stands for politics, the fact that a person can say that God values that his own children from conception is not something we're going to argue about, because God has declared it. And if God declares us precious, then precious we shall be. Even if we see ourselves through a mirror that wants to kind of hide our faces from the Lord God and say, look at my life. Well, no. God has a plan for you. And he has the time to rescue you. You know, even as he was able to rescue people from the physical and spiritual maladies, as he was able to remove from people the guilt of the sin that they were carrying and say, no, I have greater plans for you. And let's be clear, Jeremiah, even though he was given the words of the Lord and said, you will declare them, Jeremiah understood that it wasn't always going to go very well. There was a time when he was told to write down all the things that God had wanted him to say on a scroll. And then he was to declare all these words from the scroll to the king. And as he was reading them from the scroll, the king would listen for a while, and then he would take a few lines of that scroll, rip it off, throw it into the fire. Jeremiah would keep reading, off would come a few more lines and tossed into the fire. How would you like to keep proclaiming the word of God under circumstances like that? But Jeremiah did. Because once something comes from Christ to us and through us, if Christ who is in you can even silence demons, can declare, you will not speak. And they cannot. You have to know what he is doing through the power of the Holy Spirit for those who love him and call upon his name. And that's what stewardship is. It's about using what God has given us on behalf of his people. And even Jesus needed to be a good steward of all of that as he went from town to town. And it is so important, my friends, we will devote an entire month to this topic. And so, yes, it starts with Christ, but it is always about Christ. If the struggles of life make it hard for us to see what he has privileged us to do, well, to put it another way, if there's way too much going on in our lives right now for us to be able to spend much mental space on the topic of stewardship, well, focus on what God has done for you and what he can do for you. Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. And just remember, Jesus being still a fantastic steward means that he makes sure that he has time for you. You talk, he'll listen. And you can be sure of that. And then so folks, like the game of Jeopardy, where indeed if we have the if we indeed have the answer, and the answer, just like we learned in Sunday school, when you're not sure of the answer, the answer is always Jesus. All we need are questions. And unfortunately, I've got my questions thing here on the altar. But what follows now, hopefully we got them passed out to everybody. There is going to be, every week, there's going to be a special series of short questions. Today, I'm not going to answer them. Maybe the answers will be obvious for most of them. We just want you to ponder what those are going to be. And if you don't have a copy of this, please pick one up as you leave for this morning. But it's on a half sheet here. Question number one. Where does our Christian stewardship begin? A, in our pocketbooks and financial decision making. B, in the church budgetary process. C, in the decision to have a stewardship drive. D, the fact that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Question two. As leaders or members of this congregation, those of you that are leaders, those of you that are members, those of you that just are some of our part-time people, those of you that are guests, to whom does the church belong? Does it belong to us? Or does it belong to the Lord God? Question three. And this first sentence is not a question. As Lutherans, we should understand that good works are not necessary for salvation. From Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, which we make a mention of in question 1, we understand that. That said, here's the question. Good works are absolutely essential to love and serve our neighbors, and is no small part of what true Christian stewardship involves, true or false. Question 4. In the world God has placed us into, we own nothing. God is the owner. We are asked to be stewards of all he has given us, caring and stewarding all he has shared with us. And that includes the mysteries of God. True or false? And finally, God has given us various and unique gifts, abilities, and opportunities specifically so we can be good stewards. True or false? When I send out the email each of these weeks, I'll be posting the answers to these questions. And the bonus question, I won't be posting anything on this, but throughout this month, we want to ask ourselves, what is the purpose or mission of our congregation? I'm not talking about the words that we put together that's up on the screen every week. What is to be the real purpose and mission of our congregation by the end of the month? Hopefully we'll have an answer to that. And now as we continue to discuss stewardship, a representative of our stewardship committee, Tim Berkey, has got a special presentation that he would like to make on what our stewardship committee is going to do.
Good morning, everybody. I think everybody knows me. I'm Tim Berkey. No, I'm not here to sing a solo, and I'm also not here to give the money talk. I'm sure everybody thought, uh-oh, here comes a stewardship representative. Here's the money talk. No, I would like to talk about becoming a whole life steward. Pastor Wendt, Mike Metzl, and myself have recently begun meeting and working towards reconstituting our Board of Stewardship here at Faith Lutheran Church. As we've begun our work and discussions, we are all in agreement that we believe that the time has come not just to reconstitute this board, but to reinvent it, to reflect a more encompassing purpose than the one described in our current bylaws and manual of procedures. As we begin our work, please consider these questions. Is stewardship the regular financial fundraising budget enhancement process for a church, one that results in estimates of giving that hopefully increase every year? Or is stewardship the managing of all of life and life's resources for God's purposes? Is stewardship just something to check off of a list? Or is it a matter of lifelong being, doing, and sharing our personal vocations? Is stewardship part-time or full-time? Our bylaws and manual procedures that authorize and describe the Board of Stewardship have language that makes annual fundraising or annual stewardship drives the top priority. The board has remained vacant as long as I've been a member here, I think for at least a decade and probably longer. With respect to the forefathers and foremothers that penned the words in our documents and the congregation at the time that voted them into our bylaws, we do not believe that this type of focus and activity is useful or effective for us at this time. The heavy emphasis is on financial commitment, fundraising, and helping us meet the budget. It fails to address and support what we believe, which is that Christian stewardship goes much deeper than just financial giving. If we as a congregation can develop a more holistic understanding of Christian stewardship, we believe the giving will increase. As we proceed, and with approval from you, the voting members of the congregation, you can expect to see a new board of Christian stewardship and missions be developed with a focus on including all aspects of Christian stewardship and missions. We're currently studying different materials that we are drawing from LCMS. Some of what we have discovered and what I would like to share with you today is the life of the people of God means living in and from our baptism. We must begin with what God has made us to be, that is, our being. Who are we by God's grace? When we hear everyday conversations of vocation, or the being, doing, and sharing, we often understand that to be employment, a job, a profession, being a student. We talk about vocations being called to be professional church workers. These perceptions undermine our understanding of our common baptismal vocation, and that is to be people of God, where God has given us roles to play in homes, churches, society. We have this holy calling to fulfill. The world at large does not understand matters in this way. Another way to look at this phenomenon I'm trying to describe is to reframe our sacred and secular lives into a series of compartments. Box number one, perhaps work. Box number two, family. Box number three, leisure. Who's watching a Super Bowl game today or going to a party, by the way? Sometimes, somewhere in this collection of boxes is church and faith. There could be a whole series of other compartments. Here's the point. All of these boxes belong to God. The whole life, our whole life, is His gift. More than that, it is His calling to us. We have roles to play for work in our whole lives. We cannot compartmentalize them that way. Have we institutionalized our perception of what the Board of Stewardship is purposed with? Is the purpose to raise funds to meet our budget for this church? We believe that current description in our bylaws and manual procedures puts that on the board. Shouldn't this board exist to help members grow in their vocations as they manage all that God has entrusted to them? As we reinvent the Board of Stewardship and Missions, it is important for us to develop a mission statement. Should that statement be something like, the goal of our stewardship ministry is to raise enough money to pay the bills next year? Or should it be, the goal of our stewardship ministry is to help God's people grow in their relationship with Jesus through the use of time, talents, and finances that God has entrusted to them? Said it wasn't the money talk. Let me close with what this talk is about. I'd like to close with volunteerism. I'm currently one of the members on the nominating committee. It's one of several hats that I'm wearing for the congregation here. At a recent meeting, we were struggling to come up with names for our upcoming officer elections. One of our members came on site. They were doing some other volunteer work at the time. They learned of our meeting and asked if they could come in. They let us know they were interested in becoming more involved in the lay work that needed to be done here at Faith Lutheran Church. What a relief. What a sigh of relief. Talk about God sending a blessing just at the right time. That person will have their name on the ballot in our March voters meeting. We are grateful to them and our Lord who sent them at just the right moment. We need more of this. The point here is we have many opportunities to get involved here at Faith Lutheran Church. We need new leaders to step up and let long-term leaders step back, have a break, or branch off into some other new area so that they can grow in their Christian lay ministries. We have a fantastic music ministry in Faith Factor. They could use additional members, members that play instruments, sing, members that can step in so that because somebody else can't show up at a particular day. Ladies Guild. Any of the boards and committees, including this new Board of Stewardship and Missions. The booth. I have triple duty today. I have the booth. I'm giving this presentation, had to find a substitute so that somebody could fill in for communion, help with communion. We need more volunteers stepping forward. We need people with fresh energy, new ideas. Just ask any one of us, and we'll help you get involved. We'll get you plugged into what is interesting to you, and we will not let you fail. Thank you. Enjoy the Super Bowl, by the way.
Thank you, Tim. And at this time, let's receive our offerings. In our prayers, we remember Jim Remthen. He is a part-time one of our snowbirds who is right now hospitalized at Trinity. And we also need to announce to you that the Lord has called to everlasting life one of our longtime members from quite a while ago, Mildred Corlett. So we lift up our hearts to the Lord as we bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, your ears are always open to the prayers of your people. So we thank and praise you for all of the gifts that you give to us, the blessings of faith and love and trust in you, but most of all, for the coming of your Son, for all that he gives to us in his word and being the word and sharing the word. Open our eyes to the many people who need that good news. Turn and open our hearts to their need. Let us be aware of our privilege and responsibility to share that most glorious gospel with them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Renew us then to that end by your Holy Spirit. Send us forth into the world to share the gospel with all people. Strengthened by the presence of Jesus, who promised to be with us always. Bless every witness to your love in Christ. Give a rich harvest to all who labor in your vineyard. Bless all of our families, giving each home your presence. As you give value to each and every one of us, so may we take that value as your precious children and share that most precious message that, yes, these children also are important to the Lord God. May we always delight in having the privilege of serving your Son in our daily lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Dear Lord, there are many who are struggling right now in the realities of life with sickness, with hardship, with the many things that sometimes only you are able to work with. But as the power of the kingdom of God was present in you when you were in this kingdom, so let that power reign in the lives of all of these people now. Bless the family of Mildred Corlett. Be with Jim Remthen during his time in the hospital, and for all of us who are undergoing procedures, who are facing surgeries or times in the hospital, who are trying to overcome sickness, or for any other need of body, soul, heart, and mind, we now lift up before you someone in our own lives that is in need of that, that comes only from you, that we name before you now in a moment of silence. In all things, dear Lord, help them to find release from their burdens and trials. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And as the glory of your presence once filled your ancient temple, so in the incarnation of your Son, you manifested the fullness of your glory in human flesh. So we give you thanks that in his most holy supper you have revealed your glory to us. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, so that we may one day behold your glory face to face. So hear us now, for the sake of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord, you sanctify and guide us in all truth to know you as our Savior, Jesus Christ, along with the Father, whom you have made known, as we are knit and joined together in the Spirit. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Our service concludes at the bottom of page 8 with the closing unison collect. Please stand as we pray together. Almighty and ever-living God, you make us both to will and to do those things that are good and acceptable in your sight. Let your fatherly hand ever guide us, and your Holy Spirit ever be with us to direct us in the knowledge and obedience of your word, that we may obtain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Go out into the world in peace, have courage, hold to what is good. Return no one evil for evil, strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the suffering. Honor all people, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit, and may the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you. Amen. Friends, thanks for joining us today. We hope to see you throughout the month for our Stewardship Month. Go in peace, serve the Lord.